Sheree, how was that day? Someone put it this morning. This was a good morning to be sitting around listening to the radio, drinking coffee. Was that it?
Yes, I think we had a few coffee drinkers, biscuits and gravy. I know we had some cinnamon croissants here ourselves.
Well, it's not the greatest day in Louisiana anyway. We're here in Texas, and it's kind of moved through. We got some residual winds, but no more rain here. But it's certainly got a ways before it gets through Louisiana. So thanks for tuning us in and spending some time with us this Saturday morning. I want to thank all of our guests who have been joining us with some really good information. Up now is David Hayden of Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. The department has released its new WMA, Wildlife Management Area, Self-Clearing Permit app. And David's going to tell us how to get that app down and how to use it. David, thanks for being with us this morning. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good morning.
David, if you would, let's bring people up to date on up until this point. What have you had to do in order to get a self-clearing permit, which is required by law to hunt on a WMA?
Yes, sir. Up until the beginning of this month, you would go to one of our self-clearing permit kiosks. They're available at most entrances and at all camping areas on our wildlife management areas. You would pull out the card, complete the top portion upon check-in, put it in the box. You would go about hunting. When you go to leave, you would fill out the bottom portion with your activities and if you bagged anything, and put that in the box as well. So each time you would have to be present at one of these kiosks, both at the beginning of your hunt and at the end of your hunt.
Now, over at the Pearl River WMA, when duck season's open, sometimes it gets to be a little bit congested in the back up there. You can imagine it's dark. Those kiosks are usually located at the main entrances, but still it's not a lot of parking space, and people are moving and waiting in line to get them done. This is really going to eliminate that and speed that process up. Explain the permit app, what it's all about, how can people get it, and does it work pretty much the same way as the two-part permit, the paper permit?
Yes, sir, it does. So it's available on our website. It's available both on Android and Apple platforms. You can either go to Google Play or you can go to the Apple Store. It's free. You download it. The link to the, if you don't want to search within Google Play or the Apple Store, the link to the direct link to the download is available on our websites under our WMA tab, and you just download it there to your phone just like you would any other app. The direct link is www.wlf.la.gov/apps. And once you download that app, it is very easy. The first screen you get is the check-in screen. There's a scroll dial that you select your WMA, the date, the time. You hit submit check-in, and then you go hunting or fishing or whatever activity you'd like to use on our WMA.
Can you do this check-in prior to the day that you go so that it's handled? And okay. And
yes, sir, you
I guess when you pull it up, it'll ask you the date, right? You just put the date in that you want to go.
Correct. Regulation allows you to check in up to 24 hours in advance, so it does. It asks you the day and then asks you the time. Then when you complete your activities and leave, it's the same as if you would have used the paper app. It asks you for the activity you use, and it walks you through a series of questions. Similar to check-in, you know, if you were hunting, it'll ask you what you were hunting. If you were deer hunting, it'll ask you if you got a buck or a doe. It's very simple, straightforward, and the app is contained within the phone, so you can check in and check out without a cell signal. And then when you get somewhere that does have a cell signal, it'll upload to us.
Ah, very good. Now, this will allow someone to not have to enter through a checkpoint, which may not be the most convenient thing for them, depending on what part of the WMA they go. This can allow them to enter from any access point, correct?
Correct, yes. As long as if you're going to be on a WMA and you can do this before you leave the house or as you're getting your gear together to go hunting, it does provide a lot more convenience for the user.
All right. Now, as far as enforcement checks, while you're in there, you just produce your phone and pull it up and show it at that point, correct?
Yes, sir. So if you check in using your phone, there is a permit screen, and you can show on that screen. It shows the WMA you're checked into and what time you checked in. There also is a web portal. You know, basically you go to a website and check in and check out, and if you do that route, you can just print your the check-in screen. It also syncs with your phone, so if you check in on your desktop computer at home, but then you're, you know, in the woods and get have an encounter with one of our enforcement agents, it'll sync to your phone, and then you can show your phone at that time as well.
Very good. Now, for those that do not have iPhones, are the paper permits still going to be available at the kiosk?
Yes, sir. So we've this is just an additional level of convenience for our users. If you don't have a Android or Apple phone, or if you just don't want to use it, yes, sir, the paper permits are still available at all our kiosks. The same ones that were present before are still there.
Are there any, you said that you don't actually have to have internet connection to get it started, it's sent later on, but are there any of the WMAs that you're aware of that when someone gets there that they're not going to be able to download it and complete it there? If there's no
internet
access?
Well, to download it, I guess I got to clarify a little bit. To download it and get started, you do have to have a cell phone signal, you know, because you have to enter a username, a password, things like that. You do have to have a little signal. We suggest you download it at your home or maybe on the highway or alongside a highway or something at the camp. But to use it, you don't have to have any signal at all. You know, when you're checking in and checking out, once you've downloaded the app, when you're checking in and checking out, you don't have to have any signal at all. You know, in fact, when we were testing it, we were putting it on airplane mode, you know, and it was working just fine.
So I guess the best rule of thumb is if you don't do it before you leave your home or the night before or en route, then probably the best thing to do would be to use the paper when you get there if you haven't done it so far, unless you get a signal when you pull up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a great deal of our WMAs have very sufficient cell phone signal, but you're right. Some of the maybe the coastal WMAs or some of them, the more remote WMAs, you can still use the app. If you don't have a signal, it still banks it in your phone, and you can still produce a screen, you know, for an enforcement agent to show that you checked in or checked out.
Well, unless you've got anything else to add, the only thing that I would ask is, I guess this might be a pretty convenient way for someone to keep their own personal hunting record of that WMA. If they keep it in their phone, they'll have the same information you'll have, correct?
Correct. There is there's a couple additional tabs on the app, you know, additional to the check-in and check-out. You can call Operation Game Thief, and it also has a history. So you can, it banks all your hunts. So if you want to look back and, you know, see what day you hunted Pearl River or how many ducks you got or you know, what day you killed that buck on Sherburn, you can go back and look at the history on the app, and it's all there for you.
Very good. Anything else you want to add, Dave?
No, sir.
All right, I think we got it covered. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
You do the same. David Hayden, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, talking about a new self-clearing permit app for your use on a wildlife management area. All right, when we come back, Cherie and I have been taking some reports on the estimations of your duck season, 1-10 rating. How was the first split so far? We'll go over those when we come back right after this time out. You're listening to More Outdoors on WWL 105.3 FM HD2. All right, stand by. Becky Larkins is going to be joining us. She's the refuge ranger at the Southeast Louisiana Wildlife Refuges, and they've got a couple of really nice events coming up this weekend and also next weekend as we near the holiday and Christmas season. But before we get to Becky, Cherie and I have been tabulating some of the responses from duck hunters listening in this morning and asking them to rate how their season went as far as the first split. Anywhere from 1-10, letting us know where they hunted and what they found. Cherie, what did we get?
Well, overall, the season first split hadn't been great. Highest score was given was a 5. You know, we had Beatico Tom, who rated it a 5. He hunts in the Point Lahash area. Josh Trahan from Abbeville, who's out at the Vermilion Bay area, he said 3. We had a texter from Delacroix who said 2. Mike Smith said he's with the Louisiana Marsh Guide Service. He said it was actually fantastic opening to about the Saturday after Thanksgiving and then tailed off after that. Pearl River Management Area, quote, miserable, a 1. There were more hunters than there actually were birds out there. You know, Uncle Don Don reported that Bubba Chuck had good and bad days, improving towards the end of the split in Gaydon. So I think consistently what we can say is not a real great first split. I think some folks saw a decline, some folks saw an improvement, but nonetheless, not good.
Well, Ryan Lambert also told us, what did he say, about a 2?
Yes.
And he is in a really good area. Southwest Louisiana, we didn't hear from anyone over there, and maybe they're keeping that their best secret, because I went out there and made my best hunt in quite a few seasons, actually, out there this year, and they had been enjoying some good success over there. They were a little slow during the opening week, but after that, things really picked up for them as some weather moved in. Getting back to the comment from the hunter that was hunting on the Pearl River Management Area and said it was miserable, he also added a comment that he thought that they should maybe disallow or ban the use of mud boats, surface drive engines on that. And that's been an ongoing debate, whether surface drive engines run ducks out because of the noise, give people access to where they put too much pressure on the ducks. And I've had discussions with waterfowl study leaders about this, and I told them, you know, you might be careful what you ask for, because what they have done on some WMAs and also on National Wildlife Refuges, they have banned surface drive engines. But they've also created what they call LAAs, limited access area. So part of the WMA or the refuge, you're allowed to take a mud boat or surface drive engine. Others, you have to paddle in or walk in. There's no motorized vehicles allowed. The results that they've done on interviewing hunters and assessing their bag limits is phenomenal. The success rate on those LAAs is so much higher than what it is on the conventional areas where you're allowed to take motorized vessels. But it's a slippery slope, because here's the thing. There are a lot of people who are not either able or willing to paddle a P-Row or a kayak as far as you need to go to hunt ducks without a motorized vessel. Therefore, if they made a whole WMA, nothing but accessible only with limits on paddle craft, you would lose a lot of duck hunters in this state. The more duck hunters you lose, license sales are lost, duck stamp sales are lost, you're operating with less money, there's going to be less participation. Those people might go to deer hunting or something else and give up duck hunting totally. So I think the way they've got it is the answer. Make those smaller, hard-to-access areas, limited access, but keep the mud boats for people who want to put up with the crowds and the noise and maybe have a less successful hunt. Now, specifically on Pearl River, that is not one of the ones where they've got a limited access area. I don't know if that area is big enough to support both. That probably would be left up to the managers of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries in the Pearl River Wildlife Management Area. But anyway, I want to tell the people that were listening, if you like the idea of banning mud boats and you hunt strictly by P-Rock, be careful that you don't try to get it banned completely on all of the hunting areas, because it could come back to bite you on that. But anyway, overall, it looks like, what would you average the ratings out, below a 5? It's certainly below average first split season.
Yeah, between a 2 and 3, certainly below average.
Well, we've got another split to go, and that will be reopening next weekend, so we'll see what happens as we get a little bit colder weather and maybe some migration. We certainly saw some cold, icy weather up in South Dakota, stuff that ducks shouldn't want to be in, and they should be headed down here where it's nice and warm and cozy. And we'll see if that happens. All right, finally I got a chance maybe to get to some of these emails that I've been piling up and I have not got them. This one is from Yvette, and it says, we watched your show when you made the tacos. Maybe I covered this last week, but in case I didn't, or in case you didn't hear it, my response was that I did a halibut taco recipe on Bayou Wild TV, and all of our recipes are on our website, BayouWildTV.com. You can go back and watch them and follow them. And also, many of them, including this one, is on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. It's not the video of me cooking it, but it's certainly the recipe there, and you would be able to use that. All right, we have another email in. This one is from John in the Baton Rouge area. He wanted to know, he says, we have tried to Google realshrimping.com to book a trip with no luck at all. Do you have a contact number so maybe we can call? Thank you. What he's talking about, we did a shrimp charter. George Barisich, who was a longtime commercial fisherman and shrimper, he started that this year where you can pay for a fee. You go on his boat, you become part of the crew. You go out, you work with the trawling operation, putting the trawl out, culling the catch, cleaning the catch. They cook some of the shrimp on board, and you take part of the catch home as part of your catch. So anyway, he said he had trouble getting them. Realshrimping.com is the website. But in case, like this listener, you have trouble finding George, I'll give you his telephone number. It's 504-439-2013. That's 439-2013. And I put a little note on there for John. I said, make sure he cooks Croatian shrimp stew when you go, because that is part of the trip. He actually cooks some stew to eat while you're out there, and they don't get any fresher than that. They come out of the water in the net, they hit the deck, and they go into the stew. You're never going to get any fresher shrimp than what you'll get on realshrimping.com with George Barisich. All right, let's see. I got some more emails here. This one was from Charlie. He said, thank you for taking my question. I would like to try and catch some crawfish when the season opens. I belong to a group of kayakers called the Swamp Posse. We would crawfish in the Honey Island Swamp. Can you tell me where? And my answer to Charlie was, it's not so much where as when. Honey Island Swamp crawfishing peaks when the water level is right, and that depends on the river level. And it's usually sometime in February through late April, early May. That is the best time. You can paddle into the backwater shallows. You can leave from Crawford's or Davis Landings, or you could slide a kayak in off I-10 near the Mississippi state line and get access there. But again, it depends on the water level when it gets optimum, because if it's too much water, the crawfish are scattered. Not enough water, they're not in the swamp. It's just not simply not deep enough. But when it reaches that optimum level, and judging from this year, it might be earlier than February. Temperature's got something to do with it too, but mostly it's water level. Generally, February is when it's right. But as high as the Pearl River has been, it may be a little bit earlier this year. All right, let's see. Got another one here from, this is from Mike. He says, Don, I took a group of friends to Grand Isle 2 weekends ago, and the fishing and crabbing was terrible. Was it wrong time of the year? We want to go back next year. So would April be better for trout, reds, and crabbing? Thanks. Here's my answer to Mike. Mike, it can change from year to year, even day to day. But your best bet would be May for speckled trout, late August, September for the redfish and the crabs. You have to watch a couple of very important factors. You make sure there's a good tide range, 1 foot or more. And the second thing to watch for is wind speed and direction. Best is a southeast wind. East would be second, then south and southwest, and west would be the worst. Southwest or west is going to really dirty it up and kick it up. It's very rare for north wind during those summer months, but that would be good too if you happen to, for some strange reason, catch a north wind in May on Grand Isle. Another suggestion would be when you go down there, go with a charter. We got guys down there, Darryl Carpenter. When you go with them, ask plenty of questions. You'll learn more on that one trip than in 10 years of weekend trial and error. So I wished him good luck and asking Charlie to, is it Charlie? Mike. It was Mike. I asked Mike to let me know how his trip goes. All right, I think I might have time for one more email before we get to Becky. This one says, hi, this is from Melissa. Hi, I listened to your show the other morning. I have a 10-year-old son who really loves to fish. We live in New Orleans. I was wondering if you could recommend anywhere we could go fishing around New Orleans or even the North Shore where he can fish without an expensive charter. We also do not have a boat. So do you know of an area we could go? Thank you so much. Any advice helps. Thanks, Melissa. Here's my answer. Melissa, two spots come to mind on the North Shore. They have fishing piers with lots of amenity like safety rails, restrooms, fish cleaning tables, parking, electricity. There's one called Sunset Point just on the right east side. That's open 24 hours. It's right there next to the causeway. There's no charge. The other is at the end of the I-10 Twin Span in Slidell where the bridges meet the North Shore. There is a small fee for adults. I think it's a dollar or two. No fee for kids. Its hours vary with time of the year, and as we found out, it closed last Sunday, so that particular pier is not going to be reopened until the spring. Both of those spots, the fishing can be poor to pretty darn good. You need to fish it with light southeast or southeast winds and good tide movement, of course. The best bait to bring, dead shrimp on the bottom. You can catch catfish, speckled trout, redfish, drum, sheephead, flounder, crabs, and probably a dozen other species. The more you go, you will learn about what works best. The other option, if you want to do a little freshwater fishing and you're in New Orleans, is New Orleans City Park. There's 7 miles of bank in City Park, and you can catch a variety of species there, Rio Grande perch, brim. There's bass, there's garfish, there's a few catfish in there, and that's certainly easily accessible. Now, the other option would be to get out and fish. And, Cherie, what is the closest one of those to New Orleans that they're going to be stocking catfish in next week if somebody wants to take a 10-year-old to do some bank fishing?
Actually, there are two, Sidney Hutchinson Park in Walker and Zimmerman Park in Hammond. Both of those locations just on the North Shore having the Get Out and Fish Day on December the 11th, which would be Tuesday.
That's the official day when they're going to have representatives out there to help people that might have questions and assist with gear. But they also, you can go out to those places after that. They're not going to catch every one of those catfish out of there on that very day that they're put in there. I can promise you that. The fishing will be there for quite a while. All right, I got some more emails. We'll try to get to those later, but we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll be back with Becky Larkins. Going to talk about a visit from the Fat Man that's coming up next weekend. And also, if you have ever had breakfast with the birds, if you haven't, you got a chance to do that. We'll talk to Becky Larkins, Refuge Ranger with Louisiana, Southeast Louisiana Wildlife Refuges. Right after this pause, you'll listen to More Outdoors on WWL 105.3 FM HD2 and also live streaming worldwide at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. All right, before we bring Becky Larkins in and talk about some activities on Southeast Louisiana Refuges, going back a little bit to some of our comments, we had a texter that said that the possible answer to those mud motors, the problem is the noise that they create, and said that, what is that, a high-performance muffler or requirement might take care of that. So maybe if they put that in as a regulation that if you're using a mud motor that you've got to have one of these high-performance mufflers on it. I don't know what the decibel level is between the two. I guess they'd have to do a study on it. But that might be a workable solution where people who want to use the mud motors and access some of these areas are available to do that. But the other part of that is it gives you access to places where people would not normally be able to go, so therefore the ducks don't have a place to hide and rest and get away from pressure. So there's a pressure angle in addition to the noise part of it, too. So anyway, that's things that are down the road to be looked at. The other thing is I want to eliminate the blame on Smokey. Martha Spencer texted me, and she told Smokey to hush my German short hair pointer. And it wasn't Smokey, Martha. Smokey's not guilty of this time. She sleeps through the outdoor show. Cherie's got a menagerie over here, so we don't know who exactly it is. But, Cherie, who are some of the suspects in the background noise on the show here?
Well, in addition to Smokey, there are 8 other potential culprits here in Alvin, Texas, with our primary guilty folks probably being Nikki Blue and the infamous Blake Jr.
Larry Curley and Moe of the Pomeranian world.
Yes.
All right, well, we don't know who the culprit is, but poor Smokey is not to blame. Smokey generally sleeps through the outdoor show. She's usually with me in studio each week. All right, anyway, all that being said, let's bring in Becky Larkins. So we had her on last week. We got her back for a return performance. She's the Refuge Ranger at Southeast Louisiana Refuge. Hi, Becky. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Don. How are you and Cherie doing this morning?
Well, we are dry because here in Texas, all that bad, nasty stuff that y'all are experiencing has already passed through here, and we got a little bit of a breeze. But for the most part, the rain is gone, and I'm glad your events are not planned this morning because they might be in jeopardy.
Yes. We had a canoe tour scheduled for this morning, and unfortunately we had to cancel due to the rain.
Oh, you did. Okay. Well, you know, that's better safe than sorry for sure. Now, tomorrow, another Breakfast with the Birds program, correct?
Yes, we have another 8:30 starting time at the Ridge Trail for Breakfast with the Birds, and looks like we are going to get out of the rain, so it's going to be a chill morning. And if it's been a rainy day, usually the day after, the birds are more active. So it's going to be a great time. So come on out.
How did it go last week? What was there any unusual birds that you didn't expect that showed up? And do you think there'll be different birds that would show up because of this weather passing?
Well, with the weather passing, you never know what you can get. But we did have some interesting birds on last week's program. We were delighted, of course, this happened as we were leaving, but we did have some roseate spoonbills fly over, which is always a treat. Another thing is we've got some reports of some northern gannets in the area, and we also have some reports of a possible blue-footed booby sighting off of Chef Menor Pass. So there's a lot of chatter going on right now in the birding world.
Explain again how that works, what the time is, what people should be prepared to bring, and where as far as gear, and where would they meet, and what time?
Excellent. So it's going to be at Bayou Sauvage National Wildlife Refuge's Ridge Trail, which is off of Chef Mentor Highway. I know I pronounced that wrong. I'm not from Louisiana. Apologies. but what they can expect to bring is just dress for the weather, bring a water bottle or drink with you. And we always encourage everyone to BYOB, bring your own breakfast. At the conclusion of the program, we'll sit down under the pavilion with picnic tables, and we'll actually go through all the birds that we spotted. If you do not have binoculars, we can get those available to you. You can always call me at 985-264-9916, and I can get you with Sandy, who is our leader of the birding excursion, and we'll make sure that we'll have a pair of binoculars available for you. But it's 8:30 in the morning. It'll last about an hour and a half. Sometimes it can last to 2 hours. That's why we say 8:30 to 10:30. But just be prepared. There are bathrooms at the Ridge Trail facility. There's a covered pavilion. So if the weather decides not to cooperate, we will have a meeting place that is under shelter. But as of right now, the weather looks great, and the birds are coming in. So it is a great time to get out on the refuge.
And this will be pretty much on the walkway. So chest waders, hip boots, even knee boots, that is really not necessary, is it?
No, a good pair of old tennis shoes or comfortable tennis shoes, you'll be good to go.
Very good. Okay, and then you've got one not only tomorrow, but 1 week from tomorrow, correct?
Yes, we have one this Sunday and then one on the 16th as well. So, and then that'll be our last one of the season. And then come January, we'll start them up again.
All right, very good. We're going to take a break here, Becky, when we come back. Want to talk about next Saturday, big event. The big fat man and Mrs. Claus will be showing up at the Bayou Lacombe Visitor Center. Want to give you all the details on that, and I may be showing up at that one. Not as Santa. I'll be there as a visitor. I got some things to discuss with him, some things on a list I'd like for him to cover. We'll be right back with Becky Larkins, Refuge Ranger at the Southeast Louisiana Refuges, right after this on WWL 105.3 FM HD2. All right, we'll continue our conversation with Refuge Ranger Becky Larkins with the Southeast Louisiana National Wildlife Refuges, and a once-a-year event coming to Bayou Lacombe's Visitor Center next Saturday. I believe it's from 2 to 4. Becky, tell us about this event.
All right. So next Saturday from 2 to 4, we are actually going to be welcoming Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus to our Bayou Lacombe Visitor Center. And it's going to be a fun time for everyone. They can come and meet Cajun Santa at our Cajun cabin inside of our Visitor Center. And they get to meet with Santa and Mrs. Claus. They can talk to Santa, and then after they're done, we can get some pictures. This is a totally free event. Parents are encouraged to bring their own smartphone or camera so they can get a great picture with Santa. We will have a photographer available, for youth as well. So it's going to be a fun event. While the children wait, we'll be singing Christmas carols along with doing nature-themed crafts. So it's just a fun, free event for everyone in the family, and you're never too old to go see the Cajun Santa.
That is an outstanding event, and want to invite people to come. I'm hoping to be there. We are having our family Christmas party about 10 minutes away at Fountain Blue State Park. So I'm going to round up as many young and old kids as want to go visit Mr. and Mrs. Claus, and we're going to try to get over there and be part of all the festivities. What is the timing on this? And if you would, give us the location or directions to get to the visitor center.
Okay, so that's great. We're so excited to have you and your family visit us, Don. So how to actually get to the Southeast Louisiana headquarters is we are off of Highway 434 in Lacombe. So if you're coming from I-12, we are exit 74, and then you're going to head towards Lacombe, and we'll be right there on your right coming from I-12. But if you're coming from 190, either Mandeville or Slidell, once you are in Lacombe and you go around the 434-190 traffic circle, you're going to head towards I-12 on Highway 434, and we're going to be on your left-hand side. And it's not too far away, and then just follow the directions. We'll have signs out to direct people where to park and the best place to actually walk from their parked car to the visitor center. And we do have handicap parking available closer to the visitor center. It's not a short walk from the parking area to the visitor center, and we'll have very festive volunteers greeting you on the way. And once you get inside, we'll have refreshments available, because you can't have a visit with Cajun Santa without making sure you have cookies available.
Oh, yeah, Santa definitely requires cookies, and the hot chocolate's going to be good, too. And I want to let folks know the signage is great. You can't miss it whether you're on the interstate or coming from 90. There are some typical refuge signs that are very recognizable to get you right there to the spot. Well, that's going to be a great event, a Bayou Lacombe Visitor Center, probably going to happen no matter the weather, correct? You've got an inside if the weather's not too good.
Yep, we have it inside no matter what, and the line is always going to be under a covered walkway. So it'll be great. We're expecting a lot of our visitors to come and enjoy. And if you want to come early, you are more than welcome to walk the trails before Santa's arrival. And you're also welcome to stay later after you get to meet with Santa to walk the trails. So all trails will be open and available to our visitors as well.
All right. Are reindeer allowed?
Well, since we are a national wildlife refuge, we ask that all pets remain on a 6-foot leash at all times.
Okay, as long as they're leashed, they're fine to bring. I know you got some that are residents there that live there all year, too. They don't go to the North Pole. They stick around.
Yes, they stick around. So we do have a lot of white-tailed deer that like to call this home. So I believe the Cajun Santa does prefer I believe it's 8 tiny alligators to pull his sled, from what I remember.
I believe you're right. I believe you're right, Becky. Becky, thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you there next Saturday. And thanks for all the hard work you guys do. And please give a special thanks on behalf of all of our listeners to the Friends of the Wildlife Refuges. They without them, it wouldn't be possible.
That is correct. Thank you all so much, and happy holidays.
Thank you, Becky. See you next time. All right, there she goes, Becky Larkin. Look like I got my Saturday afternoon planned, Cherie. I'll be down with Santa Claus and some kids.
Yeah, the Dubuque kids and Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. Sounds like a great day.
Making a list and checking it twice. And I've been good, too, so I'm expecting a nice return this year during Christmas. All right, let's see. What have we not covered? We didn't talk a whole lot about our South Dakota trip. We need to talk more about that.
Yeah, Bad River Bucks and Birds, Brett.
Bad weather, they ought to call it. Bad weather Bucks and Birds. That was freezing up there.
Actually,
it ought to be illegal to be that cold.
Well, it was beautiful weather, but it was cold. But I'll have to tell you, relatively speaking, compared to last year when we went and it was much warmer, we spent some time in short sleeves. And I have to tell you, I think the birds were holding better. The dogs were able to work those birds. We were able to get in some good shots. And so I'm going to have to say that the 2 years that it's been cold, we've been much more successful than the year that it was a little bit warmer. And so I think we're just going to have to get accustomed to those 25 and below temperatures if we want to see really good pheasant hunting.
Well, you know, I got a release from South Dakota right before we left, and it was an appeal to the hunters, the bird hunters, saying, look, don't give up. A lot of people think that Thanksgiving, early November, when the season first opens and there's plenty of birds and they haven't been pressured, that's the best time to go. But the release said that don't be surprised if some of the best hunting of the year is during late season because of exactly what you said. When it gets real cold, the birds group up more. They do less movement. They're easier to find. They're more congregated. They don't fly any slower, though, I don't think. Do you?
No, no. From our shooting, you can tell they definitely don't fly any slower.
Well, those of you who are listening and wondering what it was all about, you're going to get to watch some of it on Bayou Wild TV. I was acting as a cameraman, which I'm not real good at, but I managed to get some footage that I think you'll enjoy watching and maybe even get you interested in making a trip there. On these Cajun invasions, we do them to Alaska. We're planning one to Costa Rica this spring and, of course, the one up north. And what we try to do is offer to the Cajun people of coastal Louisiana and Texas and Mississippi and Alabama a chance to experience things that you don't find along the Gulf Coast. I mean, there's no pheasants along the, you know, pen rays, but not wild pheasants. You're not going to catch any halibut or lingcod or silver salmon in the Chifuncta River. They just don't exist there. And then, of course, we've got some species, some billfish and roosterfish and things over there in Costa Rica we're hoping to catch over there, too. And believe me, I do a lot of work for you on this. Not a lot of work, but I take a lot of the work out of it for you with these Cajun invasions. If you go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and click on the banners, most of these are turnkey operations. I mean, when we were up there in Draper, we never left the place. Well, you did. You went to do a little shopping. But, I mean, other than that, you don't have to leave. We had 11 meals were served us there. They cleaned the birds. If you don't want to bring your dogs, which we did, they've got the dogs, they've got the guides, they give you a safety talk, they tell you exactly what's going to happen, and they try their hardest to make sure that you're going to get into some of those birds, which they did. The Cajun invasion to Alaska, that includes airfare, rental car, accommodations, two meals a day, cleaning and packaging your fish for shipping back home. And again, it's things that you won't get to experience here. And they're wonderful things to do, and a lot of people spend their whole life. And, I mean, I wouldn't think I'd ever leave the Gulf Coast. I mean, I love it here. It's been my home all these years. But still, every once in a while, it's good to get out and see how the other people live and hunt and fish.
Well, that's what I think. One of the things that's nice about these operations is, in many instances, it can be as easy or as challenging that you as an individual are up for. You know, like you said, if you want to bring your own dogs and you want to get out there and move your own dogs, you're certainly able to do that. For some of the folks, you know, tromping through those cattails is difficult for somebody who's 5 feet tall. And so they can accommodate, right? They put you on the outside.
With snow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I
it's
mean,
like a snow swamp.
Yes. And that sounds like a simple thing. But for somebody who might be intimidated about being in that environment, they actually can cater to that type of need. Versus, you know, if you're Blake and Briley and you want to get out in the middle of the cattails and be neck deep in, you know, cattails and snow and birds, more power to you. And so I think that's the nice piece is it's not just as easy as showing up and they put you out there and you shoot birds or catch fish, but you can actually make it as challenging as you would like to be, depending upon what you want. It's really an opportunity to have a self-catered trip for whatever your bucket list or idea is that you want to experience away from the Gulf Coast.
And don't plan on losing weight and eating bologna sandwiches. We had some gourmet cooking up there.
Well, I got to give it to Tark, so I'm going to go ahead and put it out there for everybody.
He's the chef.
He was
Tark.
The chef at Fad River Bucks and Birds, and you brought some boudin, and I'm going to tell you what, he turned that boudin into some of the best boudin balls I have ever had. So got to give props to the South Dakota guy who cooked boudin balls. And I'll say that Tark and Sadie were great out in the field because they doubled as our guides while we were there, too.
They do a lot of multitasking around there. When your chef can go out and guide you with a retrieving dog, that's something special. But he also did some dishes, some pasta salads, and the braised beef, and he had the bratwurst soup, and oh man, it was just great. You know, and when you figure that into the whole thing, it really is an economical vacation. And we had some great company. Those guys, most of them had been on our Alaskan Cajun invasions and had so much fun they decided to go do the pheasant hunt Cajun invasion. Wayne Zimmerman and a retired major from Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, Sandy Dara, has been a longtime friend of mine. Really glad to be able to get out and make a hunt with him. A new friend, Augie Amoroso, he came along. And then we had Clyde Gravois, a guy I went to school with, played football with at Archbishop Rummel. He came out there, and they all did good. They all shot. No, they missed their share, but they also hit their share. And, of course, my son-in-law, your husband, Blake Rollins, what would we do without him? You know, driving on icy roads, driving through mud slop, and running a dog, and he's a pheasant magnet. The birds try to attack him, and he's a great shot, and, you know, just all-around great trip. It was one of the best we've had in a long time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for some folks, could be a once-in-a-lifetime trip. For us, we enjoy it so much, we're back year after year.
It's a hike, though. You know, it takes 2 days if you're driving. If you're flying, it's a piece of cake. But they'll pick you up at the airport in Pierre and drop you back off. But, you know, for the hounds that we bring up there and all the gear, it would be pretty cumbersome. So it's not a bad drive. I mean, it's scenic. You know, the roads were a little bit dicey there and for about 300 miles of it. But outside of that, there's some beautiful scenery to be seen. And you know, I was thinking about the deer hunting up there as opposed to talk about the deer that how many deer did we see? And they're like standing around on the roads.
Well, I think that's one of the things that's amazing about the wildlife in general. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about which will air on the Bayou Wild show. But, you know, couples who want to go out and do this sort of thing or even mm-hmm. families, you know, it's not just necessarily about the hunting. There are lots of shooting opportunities with a camera. And so you're right. The wildlife is just crazily abundant up there. Deer everywhere, pheasants, what I would liken to walking through a park of pigeons when you're walking through the cedar rows and things like that. And so, again, I think one of the nice opportunities is just to get a chance to be in a terrain and an environment that if we live here on the Gulf Coast, you don't have an opportunity to see. And to me, that is as much as exciting as it is to watch the dogs work, as it is to get shots at good pheasants and bring home good birds. There are just so many opportunities associated with this trip. It's fantastic. But you're right. We haven't been on a deer hunt or a turkey hunt there, but there's no shortage of an opportunity for wildlife from that location.
Well, you know, one thing we did not get this morning that we asked for was some pheasant recipes, some new ones. I've got some that I've used. John Foltz's cookbook, After the Hunt, is loaded with them. But if you want to send me a recipe, your best pheasant recipe, you can email it. Go to my webpage, dontheoutdoorsguy.com, and there's a Contact Don button there, and just include your recipe for pheasant on there because that's a great game bird. I've eaten pheasant parmesan. That's good. I do the roll-ups with the turkey bacon and the jalapeno cheddar cheese and put them on the grill with a little Louisiana fish fry seasoning. I'm sure they would be good in a spaghetti. I think the key to pheasant is not drying it out, kind of like turkey.
Yeah, you know, I mean, even Tark made us some really great just pheasant breast, right? Accompanied with some green beans, you know, and another vegetable side. I mean, they were fantastic, but I am going to go with that. The roll-ups with the jalapeno cheddar cheese is absolutely my favorite.
All right, we only got about a minute left. I want you to give them your best shooting pheasant advice, and I think it came from Colton. How does he put that? Tail, body.
Butt, body, beak, boom.
Butt, body, beak, boom. Yep, good advice to get out in front of a pheasant. And like Kyle said, he says, we don't have too many people that shoot in front of a pheasant. It's usually from the backside. They're a very worthy game bird and certainly a real joy to get out there and hunt. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks, Sheree, for these last 2 weeks coming in and co-hosting. Look forward to getting you back on again whenever. Can't afford you full time, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe the weekend after Christmas. We'll be visiting Louisiana. Might be a good opportunity.
That's right. we'll do it. All right, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you'll join us again next week. We start dark and early, 5 a.m. I'll be back at St. Hubert's Cathedral, and we'll be giving you the same information, all that stuff you love to hear and talk about, hunting and fishing and getting into the great outdoors. And what a wonderful time of the year it is. Holiday season, kids off school, colleges are closed, kids are coming home, families getting together and sharing, and what we love to do the most, that's hunting and fishing, eating and talking about it. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, Mondays at Morton's, next two Mondays at Morton Seafood, we're taping Bayou Wild. Martha Spence and I, come by and see us and have lunch. It's on the Jafunkta River in Madisonville. And have a great, safe weekend in all this bad weather. See you then.